Lux Radio Theater. Tonight and every Monday night at this time, Lux Radio Theater presents for your entertainment the finest in radio drama.
Waters of the Moon by N.C. Hunter.
My name's Selby. Frank Selby, Colonel, RHA. Retired, of course. many, many years ago. No family left, no funds except my pension. So I live in this hotel. A shabby sort of place, but it's in the country, well off the beaten track, which I like. And they only charge 4 guineas a week. I'm one of 4 permanent residents here. In summer, we get holiday makers and so on. Not many. But in winter, there are just the 4 of us. 2 middle-aged women, an Austrian refugee, believe it or not, and myself. Well, one evening last December, 3 days after Christmas it was, yes, the 28th of December, 1950, we were all in the sitting room, doing nothing very much, playing patience, knitting. I was dozing a bit. It's the same thing every evening. About 2 hours before, it began to snow, suddenly, and very hard. Then the wind got up. It must have been very unpleasant outside. We're on the edge of Dartmoor, you know. And it was due to this sudden change in the weather that we found ourselves invaded.
This is the lounge. Of course, we don't cater for many guests, especially in the winter.
Lounge? But it's a most handsome room. Oh, and it's got a fire. That's everything. Everything. Darlings, come and thaw. I'd really resigned myself to freezing to death in the ditch. Yes, we were absolutely in a ditch, you know. We skidded into the side of that nasty little bridge down the road. And there we were, benighted in the snow. Imagine it.
Shocking.
What an experience. How far we had to walk, I couldn't say. Through an absolute blizzard. You couldn't see a yard in front of your face.
About half a mile.
Well, don't keep saying that, Robert, dear. It must be much nearer 3, and it felt like 10.
As to accommodation.
Now, look at us simply monopolizing the fire. It's really too bad. We do apologize. We really do. It's a dreadful intrusion.
As to accommodation.
Please sit down, everybody. Please, please.
Darling, you're interrupting all the time.
No, I'm not, Vanessa. What do you mean?
I was just going to say, we have one double room ready. Though it's not a front room, I'm afraid.
Well, 4 walls and a bed would be the very height of luxury for us, Mrs.
Daly.
Mrs. Daly. And if we might possibly have a fire, even an electric thing or an oil stove would do. Oh, shall I ever get warm again?
The question of the other room.
Oh, my daughter will be happy in any little room, won't you, darling?
Of course, of course.
After all, we might still be in the car, in a ditch, or wandering hopelessly about on the moor, lost in the blizzard.
The trouble is that the other rooms are in the part of the house we close for the winter. I wouldn't care to put anyone there tonight. I wouldn't like the responsibility. It's so cold, you know, and so damp. Tomorrow, of course, we can light some fires and air it properly.
Oh, tomorrow? Well, surely we can find some corner for her, Mrs. Daly.
I was going to suggest, just for one night, if she could manage on the sofa.
But of course.
Tomorrow night, of course.
Oh, I hope we shan't have to trouble you tomorrow night, Mrs. Daly.
Yes, I'll sleep on the sofa. Yes, with pleasure. The young lady can have my room.
Oh, but how very, very kind and chivalrous.
But Helen, I really don't think...
Oh, but I couldn't,
but
really.
Please, it's just a question of changing the bedclothes.
Yes, I know, but really...
Well, I accept this gentleman's extremely kind offer on behalf of my daughter, and I do it on principle. Goodness knows there's little enough courtesy and chivalry in the world today, and it's entirely the fault of the stupid women who insist on discouraging it. Let me say how extremely obliged I am to you, Mr...
Winterhalter.
Winterhalter? Like the painter?
Precisely. Yeah, like the painter.
Sonetta, thank Mr. Winterhalter properly for his great kindness. This is my daughter, Mr. Winterhalter, Sonetta Landi.
Thank you very much indeed, Mr. Winterhalter.
Her father was Italian. Oh, they've got such pretty names for girls. Anna, Isabella, Teresa, Giovanna. We couldn't decide for days. Soup. Hot soup would be really delicious if such a thing were wildly possible.
Well, Bovril or tea?
Bovril or tea? Tonetta, tea, please. And I'll have tea. And some toast, I think, or a few biscuits, or a sandwich. Thank you so much. We are upsetting you, aren't we?
My daughter will get the rooms ready.
I'll just go and tidy up mine.
Ah, warm. Oh, what an adventure. Do tell me, are you all staying here for Christmas?
We live here.
Live here? Permanently? Yes. Oh, really? Oh, how amusing. But of course it does solve the servant problem, doesn't it?
It solves quite a number of problems, more or less.
Did you manage to carry some of your luggage?
All we shall need for the moment, anyway, thank you.
Thank goodness Robert is immensely strong. What poor Renzo, my first husband, that is, would have done, I really don't know. I think he'd have lain down in the snow and simply given up the ghost, poor lamb.
You know, Helen, I feel badly about our friend giving up his bed.
Oh, don't go on about it, Robert, dear. It pleases him. It would have been really unkind not to let him. I suppose he's a Jew.
Just an Austrian, I believe.
Oh, delightful people. Feckless and incompetent, but such dears. They ought to be preserved. The whole of Austria should be taken over by the National Trust. Now, hadn't we better introduce ourselves? I'm Helen Lancaster.
Mrs. White.
Mrs. Ashworth.
Selby. Colonel Selby.
Ah, so you are a colonel. I was right. Not everyone would have spotted it, but I flatter myself I never make a mistake about a retired soldier. There's something about them. They look properly washed. Ah, tea.
Mother said, if you want any more sandwiches...
More, my dear boy. There's enough there for 3 days. Oh, so you're the son of the house?
Yes.
Quite an Adonis.
I beg your pardon?
Lovely. And how old are you?
I'm 22. The sandwiches are turkey and shrimp or something. Sorry, no ham. Excuse me.
22. Oh, to be 22. Oh, there's nothing that the world can give like that it takes away when the glow of early youth declines in beauty's dull decay. Has he got a weak chest?
Yes.
Yes, I was afraid so. He has that heartbreakingly romantic look. Oh, Mr. Winterhalter, what a shame. Just fancy putting you to all that trouble. Now, I insist that you have a cup of tea and a turkey and shrimp sandwich.
Oh, it's quite all right. It's no trouble.
I hear you come from my dearly beloved Austria.
Oh, you know Österreich?
Good heavens, man. How many, many times have I been to Vienna and Salzburg for the Mozart.
So?
Enchanting country. But I wouldn't go back for all the money in the world now that it's overrun by soldiery. Poor, poor Europe. Où sont les neiges d'antan?
If you'll excuse me.
Oh, Mrs. White. She's rather quiet, isn't she? I expect I upset her by making so much noise.
Oh, she keeps herself very much to herself, you know. Mrs. White does. Rather superior, you know.
It's an interesting phase. But unhappy somehow. Now, for some tea. Pour it out, Tonetta. Not too strong, dear. Won't you all have a cup? Tell me, that rather cross-looking girl who let us in, is that Mrs. Daly's daughter?
Yeah, that's Evelyn.
Oh, her fiancé was killed in Germany just a week before the end of the war. Quite a tragedy.
Why do these things happen to people? What's the sense in it? A girl like that must wonder if there's any coherence or purpose in the universe at all. If life is anything but a tale told by an idiot.
Oh, good heavens. 9:15 already. Oh, excuse me, won't you? It's my variety night. Her what night?
What in heaven?
On Friday nights, she always listens to some wireless program in her room.
Her variety night. Yeah. Oh, but of course, one can see she listens to all the programs. And write to the announcers, I expect. And what regiment were you in, Colonel Selby?
I was a gunner, a horse gunner, for many years.
I had a friend called Claude Wilmington who commanded something or other called the Chestnut Troop. Oh, such uniforms he used to wear. That was years ago, of course.
I knew old Claude. Oh. I've got some photographs of him upstairs in the attic, if you care to see them sometime.
You haven't? Oh. Oh, it's absurd. Of course, I should love to see them. I can't wait.
Oh, well, it may take some time to dig them out. Bottom of a trunk.
Oh, no. Please don't bother now. Tomorrow we'll
yes,
be
no, no trouble at all. None at all. But, bless my soul, by the time I dug the albums out of the attic, it didn't take that long. They'd all gone to bed. Nobody in the sitting room but Winterhalter, trying to get some sleep on the sofa. The Lancasters were still with us the next day, of course, and the next.
Good morning, Mrs. White. Still very cold, isn't it?
At least that dreadful snow has stopped.
Yes, yes, thank goodness. But I'm afraid we're likely to be with you for a little time yet.
Yes. It froze hard again last night.
Yes, I doubt if one could get up the hill, even with chains. And this has been a fine house in its time.
Yes.
An interesting period, architecturally. Though not, of course, so essentially English as the earlier ones, Elizabethan or Tudor. I'm insular enough to prefer them myself.
I quite agree. My husband and I had a small Elizabethan manor house near Andover.
Oh, did you? How very delightful.
Yes. We were very fond of it. At one time, I looked forward to ending my days there. Life teaches one not to plan too far ahead, doesn't it?
Or at least not to take one's planning too seriously.
My son was killed in the war. Then my husband died of pneumonia in 1945. Much of his money was in business in the Far East. A great deal of it was lost. Well, many people suffered similar losses during the war. My case isn't in any way exceptional. I quite realize that. At least I have sufficient money to live quietly here. The only thing is, it's all been rather a surprise. Everything happened so quickly and unexpectedly. It seems such a short time ago that I had a husband, a child, a house, servants, money, friends, and a varied and interesting life. Now I knit, read a little, go for little walks, sit here, day after day, rather ill-tempered. I sometimes wonder to myself how and why it's happened. One shouldn't talk about these things and complain. I beg your pardon.
No, please, please.
To listen to other people's misfortunes, it's so embarrassing. Have you been to the lake?
How I adore the unexpected. A scene like this, for instance, so brilliant, fairy-like, enchanting. And being here is unexpected. Of course, you're totally unexpected, my dear Mr. Winterhalter. What's your other name?
Julius.
I shall call you Julius. Or will it embarrass you? Perhaps we'd better keep it for our tete-a-tete, and you shall call me Helen.
Helen. Helen, thy beauty is to me...
Oh! Oh, hey, too, Julius. Oh, dear. How often have I heard that one? And, of course, I'm always flattered, even now when I'm getting so old and ugly. And the other very popular one, which comes a little later, is Sweet Helen, Make Me Immortal with a Kiss. Don't you know? Marlowe. Oh, dear. How many mortals I have made. Only they're most of them dead now, poor dears.
You make me feel very foolish.
Oh, but I don't mean to, really. I only laugh because I'm pleased, because I'm happy. And I do love having foolish things said to me. Come and say some more, Julius, dear. Tell me about yourself. Come along. Tell me what you are. No, let me guess. A writer?
No.
Artist? Musician?
I used to think that I was a musician. I played the piano.
You did? And you're brilliant, of course. And you shall play to us tonight. If there's one thing I really love, it's the piano properly played.
I'm sorry, but I'm afraid I don't play any longer.
You don't? Why not?
The left hand is a little stiff.
Oh, no. No. Not a bullet?
A bayonet.
Dreadful. Abominable. Why are such horrors allowed to exist? Time and time again, when one begins to feel that really the world is a wonderful and beautiful place to live in, one comes up against something perfectly shocking, perfectly outrageous, obscene. Oh, it's really disheartening. One loses faith. Poor hand.
You kissed it.
Of course, after that, the poor chap is a goner. He'd fallen for the woman at first sight. Now, who knows what wild fancies came into his head? Evelyn Daly, who ran the hotel with her mother, had been mildly in love with Winterhalter for months, so it never looked like coming to anything. She saw what was happening, poor girl.
Don't you realize, Julius, that in a day or two she'll go away? She'll have forgotten your name before she gets halfway to London. She's only amusing herself with you because she's bored. Women like that collect men as a child picks up a shell on the seashore that pleases him for 5 minutes before he loses it or throws it away.
It's not true.
To imagine that she loves you or is even interested in you, it's so absurdly naive, so childish. Do you think she hasn't a dozen more attractive admirers in London? And lovers too, probably?
Is that shameful? Outrageous?
Just because she's elegant. Just because she speaks half a dozen words of German and has been to Vienna, you're hypnotized by her. Oh, don't you see? It can all come to nothing. Nothing at all. Julius, you're so gentle, so kind, so sensitive. I can't bear to see you losing your head for a woman like that. What can it end in but unhappiness?
Lancaster saw what was happening, too.
One feels sorry for some of these people, Helen. For an Austrian refugee, for instance, must be very lonely, very dull. He can barely take his eyes off you, you know. He's simply entranced. I warn you, Helen, you'll have another heartbroken admirer on her hands in a minute.
Now, is it my fault, Robert? Do be fair. What have I done but show him the most ordinary friendliness?
Dear, don't ask me. What have you done? What do you do?
When I meet nice, sympathetic, cultured people, I simply have to give sympathy for sympathy. It's no good, Robert. I really cannot stay on formal, polite terms with people I like. I will not go through life measuring out friendship and affection grudgingly, spoonful by spoonful, as if it was some sort of rationed luxury that one hid in the back of a cupboard. It's not my nature, and I can't do it.
Well, heaven forbid that you should try.
Oh, you think I behave disgracefully. You disapprove. I know you do.
My dear Helen.
You think I'm immoral. You can't deny it.
Immoral? Well, in a sense, perhaps.
There.
You know, I sometimes think that all really attractive, generous, and lovable women have something of the harlot about them.
Robert.
Oh, I don't mean it offensively.
Oh, isn't that delightful? Isn't that typical? So polite, so English. I don't mean it offensively. And you're so right, Robert, darling. You're perfectly right. I am a wanton, shameless creature. And you're so patient and so well-behaved. And I treat you quite shamefully. Yes, I do, quite disgracefully. Aren't you sorry you didn't marry some really nice, virtuous, dependable young English spinster? Aren't you? Aren't you, darling?
Snow didn't shift, and the road remained impassable. So next day, our visitors were still with us. The young people had come together, of course, and were getting on very well.
Johnny, I'm going to Switzerland at the end of January. Why not come? I'd teach you to skate and we'd waltz together. Honestly, it's tremendous fun. One laughs and laughs. And in the evening, you feel so deliciously, wonderfully sleepy. And the food one eats and the sun. Do come. Why don't you?
I should like to. More than anything in the world. But I don't suppose for a minute that I shall be able to.
Why ever not?
Well, you know, I'm supposed to have a weak chest. Last winter I was in bed for 4 months. And I'm not supposed to get tired and so on.
Johnny! Johnny!
Yes, yes, coming, coming. Besides, this is the house of the categorical negative. One only has to make a suggestion for it to be instantly recognized as a patent absurdity. It seems to you quite a simple matter to go to Switzerland. But for us, Switzerland is about as accessible as the end of a rainbow.
But why? Is it money?
Partly. It's just the way things are in this house.
Suppose I lend you the money, say £50.
£50?
For that matter, I could give it to you without noticing it, if you'd accept it.
Give it to me?
Well, why not? I'm rich, you're poor. It seems quite natural.
It's not natural at all. It's simply... simply quite unbelievably kind. And out of the question, of course.
A loan, then. You can pay it back, well, when you can. I'd like you to come to Switzerland. I really would. I'm sure it would do you so much good.
Yes, but...
Johnny, dear, the time.
Didn't you hear me call? It's my fault, Mrs. Daly. I was keeping him. I've been trying to persuade him to come to Switzerland with some friends of mine next month.
Switzerland? Well, really, I think that's a matter for the doctor to decide.
I should very much like to lend him the money if it would help. It's so easy for me.
It's very kind of you, but of course we couldn't consider that at all. Not for a minute. Tea's been on the table for 10 minutes, Miss Glanby.
I'm sorry. I didn't really mean to interfere. It was just an idea. I'll go into tea.
This was New Year's Eve. The Lancasters had half a dozen bottles of champagne with them. Perrier Jouy 43, what's more. So that night, they threw a party. Mrs. White's comment was, no doubt it's amusing to astonish the bourgeois. It was a bit uncalled for, I thought. During the evening, Mrs. Lancaster read Hands. Oh, palmistry, you know, just a parlor trick. She read Evelyn's and said that the girl would marry in a few years' time and be very happy. Evelyn received these tidings with a touch of cynicism. Well, more than a touch, really, as she was a bit tight by then. Then Mrs. Lancaster read Winterhalter's hand and declared that loneliness was behind him. He was about to enter the gateway of adventure or some such tosh. But he swallowed every word, poor mutt.
Clairvoyant for one evening. Now, Julius, tell me when you're coming up to stay with us in London.
What about the week after next?
Vanessa, what night are we going to Covent Garden for the Mozart?
The 11th.
Then you must come up on the 10th, and you shall come with us. It isn't Salzburg or Vienna, but still, it's adorable music. You shall stay a week or 10 days, and I'll introduce you to some delightful friends of mine who will make you feel a little less of a stranger. He was our secretary to the embassy in the days of that poor, unhappy little Dollfuss.
It's so kind of you.
Kind? Yeah. It'll be lovely. And we'll poke round the art galleries together and be quite bohemian.
It's not kind, you know.
I beg your pardon.
Playing with people's hopes and dreams. You shouldn't do it, Mrs. Lancaster.
Oh, my dear girl, what nonsense.
Oh, you're strong. Doesn't matter to you. But most of us spend all our time trying not to hope for what is quite unattainable, trying to be content with what we have. It's not kind to make us dream of the waters of the moon, of all kinds of happiness that are out of reach. Why do you come here to disturb us all?
Evelyn.
Oh, poor dear, she's overexcited.
Oh, you think you're going to Switzerland, Johnny, don't you? And Mr. Winterhalter thinks... Oh, really, I don't know what nonsense he thinks. Something ridiculous.
Oh, please.
And I'm to be married and live happily ever after one day. Such splendid futures are waiting for us all. Next year, sometime, never.
Oh, dear. I think perhaps you should go to bed.
Why don't you leave us alone? We aren't your sort of people at all, you know. We're just dull little people leading dull little lives in a backwater.
Evelyn, for heaven's sake.
Nonsense, my dear girl. Nobody's dull. We're all of us extremely interesting.
I tell you, we're dull, and I ought to know. I'm an expert on dullness. If you led my life, you'd know something about it, too. Dull? This is Ditchwater Hall.
Wouldn't you like to go to bed?
What a beautiful dress that is. It's real silk.
Oh, yes, it is.
Mine, real imitation wool.
It's very nice.
Oh, do you think so? I'll change with you if you like. I've only had it for about 7 years.
Evelyn.
Now, come along, Evelyn, dear. We'll go upstairs together, and you'll have a nice lie down.
What's the matter, Mrs. Ashworth?
You take an aspirin and pop into bed, and you'll be as right as rain in the morning.
I don't want to pop anywhere. And I don't want to see the new year in. Expect it to look exactly like the old one. Oh, why shouldn't it? It's only a figure on a calendar, after all. Nothing else changes. I don't see the sense of us sitting here drinking and being sentimental just because another stupid year is starting. If you could put back an old one occasionally, that might be worth celebrating. There are one or two old years I can remember. I wouldn't mind having over again. There's one, anyway. But the new year, you can have it, all of you. I don't want it. It's no good to me.
Oh, well, there's a cheerful way to talk. Now you say good night, dear, and come along with me. There's a good girl.
Good night. Good night. Good night, Mrs. Lancaster. Thank you so much for inviting Johnny and me to your party.
Good night, and I hope you'll feel better in the morning.
Schlafen Sie wohl, Herr Winterhalter. See? I speak German, too. Sprechen, sprach, gesprochen.
That's right, dear. Come along.
But I'm not in the least sleepy.
I've no objection to them dancing, but I object very much to that vulgar, ugly noise.
But how can we dance without music?
Well, try to be a little understanding. Didn't you like to dance when you were young?
If you still wish to dance, I will play for you. Now dance, if you want to.
Would you believe it?
Oh, I'm beginning to like it.
Dance, everybody. You should be good at this, Julius. Dance it with me.
Come along, John. Let's show them.
I'm afraid we're keeping you from your bed, Colonel.
It isn't so much my head as my digestion. It's always the same after Brussels sprouts.
Johnny, dear.
All right, I'm coming in a minute.
So late.
The doctor told me that the acid in my stomach would burn a hole in the carpet.
Stop. Stop, everybody. Listen.
Yes, the bells. The bells are ringing out the old year.
Yes, in 1 minute from now, it'll be midnight.
Gasses, everybody. We must drink a toast to it. Oh, what a moment this is. It always makes me feel emotional. One is conscious suddenly of time passing, of standing poised between the past and the future. Silence, everybody.
She always makes a speech on New Year's Eve.
And she did. May the new year bring you all your heart's desires. Well, that sort of thing. Pretty forlorn, I hope, if you ask me. Still, we toasted 1951 and sang Auld Lang Syne, Mrs. White thumping it out on the piano, a trifle ironically, I shouldn't wonder. And Mrs. Ashworth made a speech of thanks and, well, I made an ass of myself singing They Are Jolly Good Fellows. When suddenly, Evelyn burst into the room again.
Oh, it's raining. It's raining. I've just been out and there's a soft, wet wind and everything's thawing and dripping and the snow is sliding off the roof and off the trees. Look, I'm quite wet.
And she promised me she was going to bed.
Oh, thank goodness. Then it looks as if we shall be able to go tomorrow.
Yes, you'll be able to go tomorrow.
Oh, delightful. Speed the parting guest.
Oh, I didn't mean...
Why don't you go to bed, spoiling everything?
She didn't mean... Oh, I'm sure.
Johnny, dear, bedtime.
Yes, all right, Mother, all right.
Pops in and out like a jack-in-the-box, does Mrs. Daly.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Lancaster. And thank you, sir.
I did enjoy it. I really did.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.
See you before you go.
Of course. Good night.
Good night.
Oh, I'm suddenly so sleepy. I can hardly keep my eyes open. Bed, Robert, dear. Tomorrow we'll lunch with the Maitlands.
So, tomorrow you'll be gone, hmm?
But we shall see you again. I hope we'll see all of you whenever you come to London. Look in whenever you like. We're just off Grosvenor Square. Where's my bag? Oh, thank you, Robert, dear. Good night, Colonel Selby. Oh. Now, don't settle down, whatever you do, or you'll fall off to sleep again.
I'm going to bed once.
Good night, Mrs. White. Isn't she funny? Such a character. You know, Colonel, she intrigues me enormously. I'm only sorry I didn't get to know her better.
Good night, Mr. Winterhalter.
Good night.
After you.
Thanks.
Good night.
Good night.
Here, Shuai, 1943. I must remember that. One day, when I'm engaged to marry my handsome young man, I shall make him take me to a restaurant, and I shall say to him, I want a bottle of Perrier Jouet, 1943. Poor young man. Don't know what to say. Perhaps I shall keep this bottle. sleep with it under my pillow. Lovely, lovely Piri Shuei, 1943.
Good night.
Oh, good night. Poor, silly Mr. Winterhalter. Did you think I was rude, Mrs. White? I didn't mean to be. Or did I? I don't know. Nothing seems to matter tonight. Nothing. I'm glad they're going tomorrow. They don't belong in a place like this, not people like us. It's as if some beautiful swans had suddenly landed on a duck pond and all the ugly ducks felt envious of their fine feathers. Say what you like. It's hard not to be envious of people who are rich and successful, who don't know the meaning of drudgery and unhappiness. Girl is beautiful, isn't she? Such a lovely skin. She glows with happiness. Perhaps I could be pretty too if I didn't always feel so tired, so bad-tempered. I didn't have to work so hard every day. Every day. My face is beginning to get quite lined. I'm not yet 30. Oh, Mrs. White, you've been playing there all this time. Don't you think life is unfair to some people?
It's stupid to talk like that. Life isn't fair or unfair, or tragic or comic or anything else. Life is life. That's all. One must accept it.
I like Chopin. Do you know the sad little prelude all on one note? Yes, that's the one. Go on, play it. He used to play that. I wish I could sit here like this forever. Oh, if only the morning would never come.
January the 1st, and it might have been April. Typical of the abrupt changes you get in Devonshire. It's the Gulf Stream that does it. It doesn't bear thinking about where England would be without the Gulf Stream. Back in the Ice Age, I dare say. Well, around noon, the Lancasters were about ready for off. And something or other must have jolted Winterhalter into realizing how final a parting it had to be. And how little he'd really meant to his lady love. He was in quite a state, believe me. Now, I'd been out snipe shooting early on. Didn't get any, of course. When you're 70 and more, you react too slowly for snipe. Anyway, I'd left my gun against a bench in the garden. Poor Winterhalter spotted it. He took it in his two hands and sat there, with the butt on the ground, and stared down the barrels. Heaven knows what he was thinking of doing. But Robert Lancaster came out and took a gun from his hands, quite gently, and without saying anything. He's a very nice chap, Lancaster.
I was just looking at it.
I believe you're coming up to stay with us a little later on, aren't you? My wife mentioned something.
Yes. It was most kind of Mrs. Lancaster, but I told her this morning that I'm very much afraid I shan't be able to manage it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm rather a busy man, you know, and I find it difficult to make plans. I'm at work on an opera just present.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's very absorbing work, and probably I shall have to make visits to colleagues of mine in Paris quite shortly. But it's most kind of Mrs. Lancaster to invite me. Very kind indeed.
I'm afraid you must find yourself rather lonely at times. If I had to settle down abroad by myself, I should certainly feel it very strange.
Oh, well, one gets used to it, you know. The human animal is very adaptable.
Winterhalter,
yeah.
I should very much like... this would give me real pleasure if I could help you in some way. I'm very interested in music, as an amateur, I mean. And perhaps if you required any financial assistance...
Financial assistance? For what?
Well, this opera you mentioned.
Oh, yes. I don't... but it's most kind of you to offer. Very kind. You and I must be about the same age, Mr. Lancaster, no?
Yes. I'm 47, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, it's the same age. Hmm. Just different stars.
Just a moment, I forgot here. I was afraid Mrs. Ashworth might have seen it. Well, women are funny about firearms, very funny.
I think I should go for a stroll before lunch. In case I don't see you again, I say goodbye, Mr. Lancaster.
Oh, goodbye, Winterhalter, and good luck.
Thank you.
Curious how some of these foreigners like shaking hands. When he first came, he shook hands with everybody when he said good night, and if you gave him half a chance, he'd come down to breakfast and start it again. One feels sorry for the poor devil all the same. You know, it's extraordinary the amount of Worcester sauce the fellow eats.
Ah, hello, Mrs. White. Have you heard how the boy is today?
His temperature is still up.
Not at all strong with that. Slightest thing upsets him.
I gather your car's been rescued.
Oh, yes, yes.
You'll be glad to leave, I expect. This isn't a place one would choose for a prolonged holiday. There's really nothing whatever to do.
5,000 acres of rough shooting. That's what the advertisement says. Well, it's plenty of rough and confounded little shooting.
Of course, when one lives permanently in a place, one gradually slips into a kind of routine. And then the days pass very quickly.
That's true. Now, just to give you an instance, Monday, we have cottage pie for lunch, invariably. Well, believe me or not, one seems to be eating cottage pie about every third day. It's amazing. Yes, time certainly passes. Tempers fugit.
Oh, there you are, Mr. Lancaster. I wanted to tell you how much I enjoyed the party last night. Last year, you know, it was very quiet. We were all in bed by 10:30. And I remember waking up at midnight and hearing the bells and thinking, whatever's that? What on earth's happening? It quite startled me until I realized it was only the new year coming in. And then for some reason, I felt so sad I could have burst into tears. Silly.
Johnny, please.
I'll go back when they've gone.
So foolish, dear, when you've got a temperature. He insisted on getting up to see them go.
Now, that's not sensible, Johnny. It really isn't.
I'll go back when they've gone.
You see? What can one do?
That's naughty, you know. Very naughty. That's not the way to get well and strong, young man.
Lying in bed upstairs isn't the way either. Especially on a morning like this.
Well, I must go and get the car ready, pack the luggage. Goodbye. I only hope we haven't been too much of a nuisance.
Oh, of course not. Goodbye.
I'll lend you a hand.
No, no, don't bother, Colonel. I can manage, thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye. But come back, do.
Goodbye.
A real gentleman. So considerate to everybody. Too much of a nuisance. We should be grateful for being stirred up a bit.
I don't know that I care very much for being stirred up nowadays.
Johnny, I thought you were in bed.
No, no, I'm quite all right. I just wanted to see you to say that I mean to come, if it can be arranged.
Oh, but that's splendid. Of course it can be arranged.
Vanessa!
Yes. Somehow, I'll come.
I'll write to you.
Whatever happens, I'll come.
Zanetta, where's the hatbox?
I've got it, darling.
Well, into the car with you.
Goodbye, Mrs. White. Goodbye, everybody. It's been such fun.
I'll bring the suitcase.
Can you manage?
Of course.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
There. We appear to be going at last. And what a beautiful morning we're leaving behind us. Really, it's enchanting here. Quite enchanting. Look, the first snowdrops, bless their hearts. The promise of spring. You know, I believe I quite envy you all living in such a place.
Oh, envious? Yes, I mean it.
Oh, if only I could settle down in the country, miles from anywhere, and simply do nothing all day long but cultivate my garden and watch the seasons change. It's the only dignified way of living. I'm quite convinced of that. Now, I must rush. We're shockingly late. Goodbye to you all, and I've so enjoyed meeting you, all of you.
Goodbye.
Oh, where's Mr. Winterhalter?
He went out for a walk.
Oh, do tell him. No, just say goodbye to him for me, will you? Goodbye.
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 There. They've gone.
Today's Wednesday. They came on Saturday. Yes, 3 days and a bit.
I can't help laughing when I think about last night. That poor girl.
Nearly 1 o'clock.
Oh, I make it 10:02. You're a bit fast.
No, I checked it last night.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter. We're none of us catching a train. Ah, here's Mr. Winterhalter. Now the party's complete. Mrs. Lancaster told us to say goodbye to you for her.
Oh. Thank you. That's very kind of her.
Last night I heard her inviting you to stay with her in London, didn't I? I hope you'll go. I should so like to know what sort of establishment they keep.
I think that was just one of those invitations that people make rather late at night.
I shouldn't wonder.
Well, forward.
Johnny?
Yes?
They've gone now, so please go back to bed.
Very well. It's always the same. Excuse me.
Ah, lunch.
Yeah, I hear a welcome sound.
He always says that. I hear a welcome sound.
Oh, do I?
You don't notice it, perhaps, but you do. Doesn't he, Mrs. White?
We all have our pet habits.
That's true. After you, Mrs. White.
Please go on.
This always happens, doesn't it? I say after you, and you say please go on.
Coming, Winterhalter?
Yes. Yes, I'm coming.
Winterhalter. Colonel Dummkopf.
I suppose it's too late, is it? They have gone.
Yes. They've gone.
Oh. I found this in Miss Lanty's room. On it was this note. Dear Miss Daly, I'm leaving this coat behind in the hopes that you may find some use for it. We are about the same size, I think, but should it not fit you, do dispose of it in any way you like. T.L. I suppose this is left to the tip. It's quite ridiculous. Of course, I should have to send it back. She's worn it 3 times, and it must be worth at least £30. How can she imagine I can accept a present like that? And to be patronized by a chit of 18, it's too much. Well, don't you think so, Julius?
I don't know. Perhaps she meant it kindly. She seemed rather a nice girl.
Yes, but really, if it had been a scarf, say, or a pair of gloves, I could have accepted it. This is much too much.
Do you like the coat?
Yes, of course I like it. It's a beautiful coat. I could never afford to buy anything half as good. Of course, it's out of the question.
If you send it back, it will probably hurt her. Is that what you want to do?
Why did she leave it for me? I hardly spoke 3 words to her. She didn't even like me. Oh, I don't know. The fact is, I suppose, I'm gradually becoming the sort of person who takes offense at kindnesses, who can't say thank you for anything. You know, when one is unhappy and disappointed for a long time, one's heart seems to shrink so that there's no room in it for gratitude and pleasant feelings. Why should one always think the worst of people? It's so mean, so despicable. Yes. I shall keep it. I shall sit down, write as nice a letter as I possibly can, thanking her for her generosity and kindness. I shall try for once to be a little generous, too. What am I crying for? What a miserable couple we are. Poor Julius. You know, I begin to think that the only sin in life is to be unhappy. How shameful it is to sit here in the sunlight, nursing our little sorrows as if they were important.
What a fool I've been. What a fool.
Evelyn!
Never mind. Never mind.